Hello once again. This is day six, technically, because we've had day fives last week, but day six of Data School Stories, Diaries, one of the two, back in Trieste. And today was the beginning of a separation. So far, as I mentioned before, we had two different streams working together. We had data stewards and early career researchers. There are about 30 early career researchers and only about five stewards. So today, for the first time, the data stewards were on their own and began their own individual track, which is going to last us the whole week with only a few joint shared sessions. So it really changed the scenery, well, or the environment. We got placed in a different venue. So there were about four or five leaders. It kept kind of changing a little bit, who was involved in the room, but it was pretty much a one-to-one ratio. Some people stayed behind from the last week. We had Steve Diggs, who is an oceanographer, working as a data science officer for the oceanography in the States as part of the University of San Diego, working for the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. We also had Venkat. Once again, he was back. He's part of the Digital Curation Center. And with him was another of his colleagues called Joy Davidson, who also works for them. So the lessons today, we're once again focused on RDM, open science, and FAIR principles, but they were more hands-on, more discussion-based, and there was more chance to ask data steward questions, which found it really like useful and helpful. At some level, it still felt very early days, in a sense, because a lot of the material that was covered was something that was known to me previously. However, it did help in a sense, once again, of hearing other people talk about it. And more than anything, maybe because I had been working a little bit on the website over the weekend, I found it very useful to listen to them talk about how to spread the word and how to talk to researchers and looking at it, okay, how do we phrase the website? So as I was making notes, I was really making also little signs next to each one saying, okay, the way to phrase this would be good for the website and this is appropriate for the website, just in terms of reaching out. They also had some very cool graphics that had used the difference between data management and open science and FAIR data and how the one leads to the other. Also looking at, you know, where on the scale does a data steward fit between like the researcher and a librarian, and, you know, all of those kind of things really helped visualize the whole process and the different parts of RDM. So there wasn't necessarily a whole lot of like mind breaking, this is going to shake my world in a way. It was more looking at their approaches and a few new tools that were given. Including, one of the speakers is a lady called Marianne Hrutveld, who's from DANS, which is a Dutch National Archive Center, and they've developed a little bit of a data repository check, so you can see how, oh, not a data repository check, it's a FAIR data assessment tool that allows you, it asks you questions about your data set to see how FAIR it is, and then allow that to submit, gives you a rating back, and we were testing that out in relation to a particular data set, which was quite a useful tool. They also set up a practical exercise in which we were given the task of, one group was told, okay, how do you prepare researchers for a particular project, which is all about setting up a DMP. And then we were given the task of, if a researcher comes and says, look, I have this data set, it is stored in three locations with three DOIs, which ones do I use? What is the particular pattern to follow? So all of these scenarios were kind of connected to what we've experienced at DLS. I particularly like the FAIR tool assessment one because it feels like it's a bit of a step up from a regular Ziva hub. So I think it's something to pass on as a way of, you know, once we've done a few of the, have you deposited your Ziva hub? Have you deposited your data on Ziva hub? Is to look at how FAIR is the data you are using or submitting. I think I saw one of the slides. There was a word used, I think it was FAIRishly, or FAIRify. It was FAIRify your data, which I think is like a great visualization for it. It was also good because it affirmed the approach that we are taking at DLS. It affirmed that what we're doing is on the right path. It affirmed the way that the process is going is kind of according to international standards, and that we're not far behind what we're trying to do. And compared to some of my colleagues in terms of the universities and field work, we are also like doing quite a lot of work. I think in terms of the big point is to draw in terms of going forward is that what does a researcher need to do? What do you get information to the researchers to do so they can achieve their mission? How do you simplify it for them? They were very good at pointing out, look, we're teaching you all the big terms and the terminology of open science and RDM. This is not how you want to present to a researcher. You need to find another tactic. You need to kind of find the ins for them to do it. And you don't need to give them the whole background of it unless it is something that they're like, I'm actually interested in this, I want to know more. They also talked about generic data stewardship, which feels like what we at DLS are, and the embedded data stewards, which is what our just data stewards are called, the ones who are very specific to their mission, and how useful they are to the kind of world of doing, because there's no way that we can capture everything. I feel throughout the day I had lots of questions I wanted to ask, but at some point I felt like I was asking a lot of them. So I was like, okay, look, let me space it out, you know, because I had questions around enforcing DMPs. I had questions about like, how much of everything should we know as data stewards? How do we push it that far? So hopefully in the next 4 days that will get resolved. And I think also, I hope that they also see, because I have a feeling that most of the people within the group, there's only one other person who's a librarian. Some of the other ones are kind of researchers themselves. One works for a policy institute, in terms of, it works for dance as well. I think we're all wanting to engage with them a bit more about use cases and examples. And I think that's like, we want to push them a little bit more than I think what they have planned perhaps. So the last session of the day, so this was when we were put together with the, back together with the emerging career researchers, was with Hannah Short, who is from CERN. She works there in Switzerland, and she was talking to us about information security and internet security. I attended two of the three sessions that she had, which were quite interesting and shed a few more lights on things and to explain things. It was quite ambitious because I felt like she was trying to cover the whole of internet security in a short amount of time. And you could see that the people who were computer scientists were definitely more kind of interested in it than some of the other people. She talked about the difference between what safety and security is, how security is about being a process that protects you from malicious intent, and how still it's people who pose the weakest security link. She gave a few pointers in terms of working in organizations. She mentions how at CERN they run fake phishing scams at times, or mock ones, just to see how people react to things and whether they pose a security risk and what kind of training they need to do. So she says, like, you don't tell people to not do something because that will definitely make them do something. If you're allowing access to certain people, you either work with the idea of least privilege principle, meaning giving them the least amount of access to things, that you can't really hide things, people will find it, and that you try to make systems secure by design, not by complexity, because it doesn't help. She also mentions how with using open source, you have to make sure that the websites you're using and the code you're downloading is the legitimate one, and that can be done through the use of hash keys. So she explained a little bit what hash keys are about. She also looked at public and private keys and security certificates and described the process of authentication as well. But she didn't really get into the specific, and I don't believe this happened in the third session either, specific things that would be necessary for people doing research. She didn't really quite address the repositories and how those security things work, and didn't also really address, for example, something like anonymization, which I think a lot of people are curious about, and maybe that will get touched on for the rest of the week. We talked a little bit more about DMPs with both Venkat and Steve Diggs. One of the other groups had a task which they put the DMP as a communication tool to kind of work between people within a project, especially a large collaborate one, to see how things work. And that, of course, makes a lot of sense because, I mean, we're doing something like that with Zamani. Venkat also mentioned the thing, well, it wasn't Venkat, Steve Diggs mentioned that when making DMPs, it's useful to think about which repository it's going to go into and kind of work backwards to look at what kind of information the repository would need. And this idea that you're always looking for standards. And I think the one question I want to ask is that the standards are scattered all over the world and we don't know what they are, and that you want, you probably need a lot more of the embedded researchers to help you, like, no, this is the standard that this particular field uses. I did ask a question about, you know, where does the money for open science come from? Because I was perhaps suggesting, look, I'm not that I'm a skeptic, I'm just wondering, you know, the agenda behind this. And while I also meant to ask them, you know, where does the money for the training of open science come from? Because there seem to be a lot of kind of organizations that are promoting it and a lot of free resources given without any kind of like subscription model. And the answer I got was that a lot of the money for open science, whether it's for data stewards and for some training, I assume as well, is connected to the fact that the funders want the research to go further than just one project. They want more reusability. They want to get more value for the money that they're putting in. If
you're putting money into a research project, the data should live beyond just the scope of that project. It should allow other people to build on it. And that makes quite a lot of sense. It's going about recycling. It does also point out that the things that we are trying to improve on, and it's interesting how in these times that the key thing that we need in academia is the issue of trust. We want to trust that we're using good secondary data. We want to trust the process of every researcher. And we're trying to be more open with our trust so that other people may trust us more and we can kind of all work together, which all sounds very, very nice. And it seems to discount a lot of the possible malicious intents that could be taking place in it. And I think that's still a thing that we need to look at and figure out how do we convince people who are very private about their data.